When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. Personally, I can't wait to get a new pair of Giannis Freak 5s. Whatever you're adding to your lineup next, head to eBay. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Just look for that blue checkmark. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
It's Match Day 35, Picks Edition of the Premier League Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf and more. Sign up today at underdogfantasy.com. Use our promo code PLGP to get a 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by our NFL Draft Bingo. Play NFL Draft Bingo for a free chance to score $100 SGPN gift card exclusively on the SGPN app. Welcome, everybody, to the Premier League Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford, coming to you from Newcastle-upon-Tyne in the northeast of England. Today is Thursday, April the 25th, and we are here to have a look around a cheeky midweek card that finished about an hour ago. And we've got a full slate of 10 games on the running, match day 35 of the Premier League. Joining me and answer the question, has he had more or less than 5.5 pints, is Mr. Barry Penaluna. Barry, what's the pint situation? Under?
Less than 5.5 pints. I haven't had a pint.
All right. Red wine? Pint.
No, I was on gin today. But I did take it very sensible. So probably 7 gin and tonics, 8 gin and tonics.
All right. Okay.
But bear sensible, in mind, that. I've been out since 12 o'clock, from like 12 till 8. So an 8-hour in the boozer, and I've only had 7 or 8 drinks. I was quite sensible. As you know, I'm trying to live a slightly healthier lifestyle at the moment, Malcolm. So beer is off the agenda, and it's gin and light tonic at the moment. I didn't enjoy it, to be honest. I haven't enjoyed the drink for a while. I'm just not bothered by it at the moment. So I'm quite sober, as it happens. Despite having
what a we were all hoping you'd be rolling about the place, Baz. We wanted Squiffy Baz on the show.
Harry in the chat has nailed it. He went for the under because it's only Thursday, yeah. And that's right. I have got work tomorrow, so and I've left my computer in the office, so I can't even from home.
Is that why they had a Thursday work stew to keep everyone sober?
It was just the bloke's last day at work, wasn't it? He just finished the day, so it was happened to be a Thursday. There will be some sore heads tomorrow from some people, I'm sure.
Yeah. Good times. Callum. Callum's pulled double duty again. He was in the MLB chat earlier on. The Backus family are here. Lloyd, you can shut up. Lee Smith, Harry's here as well. Michael Roberts up the toffees. What was all that about last night? We'll get to that in a bit. We've got some ground to cover first, Baz. I need to get all of these things out the way, so we're going to have to go quick, right? I've got the tit list back out, Barry, because I couldn't get past that Anthony thing from last week. I hadn't seen it, if you remember rightly. When that penalty went in, I immediately turned it over. And then I saw what you talked about. And do you know, so I got the tit list out, right, Baz? Why is Curtis Jones on the tit list? Can you remember? Because I can't. What did he do to get on our week?
I remember you put him on.
When I picked it up because I've got no idea why he's on there.
I can't remember what it was. We've got a lot of scouts on there, haven't we?
I think he could go for Anthony. You all right with that?
Well, given that we can't remember why he was even there, it was something ridiculous. It was something ridiculous.
Poor Curtis. Sorry, Curtis.
I can't remember what it was. But yeah, definitely swap him for Anthony. Anthony should have been on
Anthony's
there.
Anthony's back on there then with Goldbridge, Jordan Henderson, Michael Owen, Rio Ferdinand, and Mikel Arteta. That's a strong six, that, by the way. That's a strong six.
We sort of balanced it out a little bit there. It was a bit too Liverpool heavy, wasn't it? With Curtis Jones, Owen Henderson. I know they probably don't own Owen anymore. But balanced it out a little bit by having another Man United on there.
That's fair enough.
Good update.
I've got possibly two stories. We've got the kids.
Michael Roberts in the chat has remembered it was Curtis Jones. It was somebody celebrated, didn't they? And he said celebrating was their thing. They want to go celebrating at the end of a game like that. That's kind of our thing. I can't remember who it was now. Celebrating.
Yeah. The word celebrating the other night with it. Fucking divvies. Right, something else really remarkably funny has happened, Baz. And I only became aware of this yesterday because my sister pointed this out to me. Do you know my sister, Baz? You met her?
Funnily enough, I was talking about your sister tonight. Just trying to recall her name to Helen. It was a funny conversation, but it's not that interesting. So I'll talk to you afterwards about that.
Right, this is unbelievable, this, Baz. She's a bit of a character, my sister, but she's getting married again can't remember when, but she's getting married in Gibraltar, which is all very nice. And our new partner is called Paul Imeson, Imeson. Really nice fella, Paul Imeson. Now, if you remember, Barry, last year, my sister got a prosthetic eye. Do you remember this talk? My sister. Yes, you do. Have I not seen your photo of your sister's false eye?
No.
All right. Oh, my sister had she had an eyeball out, and she's got a false eye. She mucks about with it. It's a good party trick. She makes it look in different directions and freaks you out and stuff. However, marrying Paul Imeson, she's literally going to be Mrs. Imeson. I mean, what's the chances of that, Baz? That's like a million to one shot, isn't it? An absolute stone cold million to one shot. My sister is going to be called Lindsay Imeson and walk around with an Imeson. And it just never occurred to me at all. And then I think it just occurred to her yesterday, and she WhatsApped us. She went, can't believe I'm going to be Mrs. Imeson. Unbelievable. Absolutely outstanding. I can't get my head around that at all. If we've got time, we'll get onto the poorly kid story later on. Are we allowed to mention, Barry, that one of the guests on our show stabbed his parents in his sleep, or is that something we're not allowed to talk about? We probably should have had this conversation off air, Baz. Is that?
Yeah, probably not meant to talk about it. I think all mention of that person have now been removed from SGPN. If anyone wants any details, we can always take that offline, Malcolm, and share that with anyone that wants to jump on.
That's a TikTok conversation, I think, Baz.
It wasn't a recent guest, to be fair, but interesting development.
Midweek, picks wise, shit. Mine was shit. However, I think I saved me bacon, Baz, because my underdog, even though it was a slight favourite, Bournemouth, Bournemouth won. My goal scorer hit tonight, Alvarez. And then I'm also throwing in, I fetched out Hull City last night, because I really fancied them for a YouTube short. I've had such a bad week, I'm adding that in, Baz. I'm doing some proper tax fiddling. So that just about saved me. Other than that, I was miles away on just about everything else. I couldn't catch a break.
I mean, neither of us give Everton a chance, did we? Both thought Liverpool would show up yesterday and didn't, so that was bad. Both of us, I think, felt Chelsea might go. Did you take in the Chelsea game?
That Chelsea to score in the first half. I saw the Palmer injury news, and that was it. Goosed is same. That's twice in 3 days. And then you saw the lineup, and what on earth that was? I've no idea. Harry might be able to tell us a little bit. But that lineup was Arsenal were very, very, very good. But Chelsea stood no chance. The main thing that annoyed me was I had a Nicholas Jackson one shot on target in my builder bet. And fuck me. There was that one where he was about 3 yards out.
That was ridiculous. He put it in the side netting.
I paused the telly and shouted Bob through. I said, Bob, come and have a look at this, man. And we both just stood shaking our heads. Like everything else in my build-up had missed as well, but I just wanted something to turn green, and Nicholas Jackson couldn't do that for me. Did you have anything else, good or bad?
I took Bournemouth to score the first goal in the game at 4-5. I like Bournemouth to win that game as well, like you, so I got that one right. And City was easy enough tonight. I took City to score 3 or more goals. The one that was really annoying for me was I took Sheffield United handicap. And 2-1 up fairly late on. They were still in the game, weren't they? And to lose it by 2 in the end. I had them plus 1.5. So if they'd kept it to 3-2, I'd have been okay. So that was a frustrating one.
Yeah, I just think, like, on the wrong side, the Everton-Liverpool one, I just used my eyeballs at the weekend, and I didn't see that result coming at all. To pick Everton, you had to just close your eyes and go for the derby angle. And that, it turns out, is how football works sometimes. And Everton battered them, so fair play. I think that's probably the only time all season we were happily cheering on Everton, Baz. And then the other one I got wrong, which really annoyed us, was Crystal Palace. Because the last twice on the show, I've said Palace are going to finish this. There's always one team, comes with a wet seal, plays, handbrake off, good football, the sputter of relegation gone. And I made all this case and then said Newcastle score twice. It was there. It was a bit like the fade of West Ham where I never seemed to win. I've got Palace spot on and then not taking them. So my reading of it spot on and I'm still taking the wrong bets. Like,
yeah, I mean, I took the wrong one in that as well. Same pick as you. I thought we would play a part. A couple of things there, really. I went into the game with the fear. I felt we were going to struggle. It was a bad time to play a Palace. But the other thing is, I think you can tell with Newcastle United at the moment, you can tell within 10 minutes whether we're going to play or not. And if we start off like we did there, we just play like that. That's it. We just continue to be garbage.
Yeah, you're right.
And then you've got the Spurs game where you could tell we were just all over it from the first minute and you knew it was going to be a good game. But yeah, the Palace game was just a stinker for Newcastle. Never showed up, really.
There was a few games like that when we had our little slump in the new year where Palace would have a shot or something and they would show them, and then we'd get the ball, we'd have a goal kick or a throw in, and then they would show the replay, and when they cut back, Palace would have the ball back. And that happened in the every single time. What are we doing with it? I never saw what we were doing with the ball because we just surrendered it back to them by the time they'd showed whatever it was. Another Palace shot going wide to you. Shocker for Newcastle. Fair play at the Palace. They are playing well. Mateta is playing very well, as Callum points out in the chat. There's a few hard luck stories in the chat as well. Lee Smith let down for 100-1 shot by any Madueke shot. And Michael Roberts, the same, Madueke, assist or goal, let him down for £255. So Madueke owes everyone a few quid. Right, okay. We'll get stuck into this. Oh, I'll tell you what I haven't opened my Bet365 page with the games on. Right, there we go. First up, let's mention the NFL draft is tonight. It's in a few hours. So this is just with a couple of million joining us live. If you're downloading the show, you might have missed the boat. NFL draft props, mock drafts, and the watch parties tonight. So tune in a few hours' time on the Sports Gambling Podcast YouTube page, and you'll get the best NFL draft watch party out there. All the network contributors are drafting for each NFL team. And Underdog Fantasy, the NBA playoffs are here. Underdog Fantasy, making it more interesting. It's the easiest place to play fantasy sports. You can play the pick'em game, select higher or lower on player stats, points, rebounds, assists, all that kind of thing. And you can mix and match your sports. It doesn't have to be all NBA. You can mix in some football, some baseball, anything you want. Underdog is available in over 30 states, including California, Texas, and Canada. I know Canada's not a state in America. Don't get me wrong. And in Florida, they've just launched the Champions, which is a player versus player format. Make sure you sign up with the code PLGP. Underdog, double your first deposit up to $100. Underdog Fantasy, promo code PLGP.
When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, real experts are checking your sneakers. every stitch down to the sole. Personally, I can't wait to get a new pair of Giannis Freak 5s. Whatever you're adding to your lineup next, head to eBay. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Just look for that blue check mark. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Right, I found this really hard, but as I messaged you this afternoon, it was almost like if you'd asked me to handpick games that were awkward to handicap, there was about five or six on this card. Now, that doesn't mean the picks are going to be good or bad, because you might remember I sat here a few weeks ago and said I was going to go 10 out of 10 and then went 1 out of 10 or something. So the fact I found this tricky may just have concentrated the mind and I've got some things right. But it was like I just looked at this first game, Baz, and I thought, fucking hell, this is horrible. 12:30 on Saturday, 7:30 Eastern time. West Ham take on Liverpool. West Ham are 4-1. In fact, they're a quarter of a point bigger now. They're 17-4 plus 425. The draw is 15-4 plus 375. Liverpool are 11-20 minus 182. Yeah, just two awful teams to try and get a read on. West Ham could easily just check out on the season now. They've had their own. They got knocked out of Europe. And they're not really going to end up anywhere different than what they are. One place, high roller. I don't think they're going to make Europe behind Newcastle, Man United or whatever. And Liverpool, the same. Liverpool's season just went up in smoke against Everton the other night. So how are they going to react? There's so many questions on this, Baz. I just couldn't find an angle into a side at all. So I just had to go to the stats market. That was the easiest thing to do. There was nought else. There was nought else I liked. I couldn't find any West Ham stats I liked. I looked all over the place. I ended up back on Liverpool shots, Barry. Boring. 20.5. Liverpool were shit against Everton the other night and still had 23 shots. They had 14 against Fulham. And that's the only one that's missed. They had 28 against Manchester United. So the trend is for Liverpool to get over that total. And like I say, even if they play badly, like they did the other night, they managed 23. So 20.5 looks like a decent line, especially against West Ham, who I do think might just phone this in. So yeah, a little bit of a boring start, but I don't mind it. It's 9-10. It's minus 111. Liverpool over 20.5 shots against West Ham United, Baz.
Unbelievable, Mal. I've got the same pick. Exactly the same pick, although I've got it down as evens, but that was last night when I looked at this one. Like you, don't really know what to do with Liverpool at the moment. They just haven't looked on it the last few weeks. Salah's performance has really dropped off. Darwin Nunez has gone back to fucking missing absolutely everything. Goals have dried up. They got three against Fulham last week, but failed to score in three of the last five games now, which is pretty astonishing for a team with so many attacking weapons. Going back to Liverpool here, Malcolm, it's the 12:30 lunchtime kickoff, isn't it? Klopp doesn't like the 12:30 lunchtime kickoff.
Klopp doesn't like kicking off at any time. There was a bloke on TalkSport this afternoon. He doesn't like kicking off at all. He'd much rather they just didn't kick off. Yeah, 7:30 is no good. 8 o'clock, 12:30, 5 o'clock. Just don't kick off at any time to avoid upsetting it.
Well, we should name this 12:30 Saturday slot, though. We should call it the Klopp slot or something like that. We should name it after him, in honour, after he goes. But yeah, back at the 12:30, come back Liverpool. I've done the same as you. 20 shots, hitting five of the last six games. They're averaging 23 shots a game over the season. And as you mentioned, they had 23 the other day, even when playing shite. They actually only had something like two shots in the first half hour. As soon as they go behind, they obviously get in amongst it. So yeah, I think it's a pretty easy line for Liverpool, over 20 shots at evens. So exactly the same pick. It is 10-11 now. It's coming a little bit. But same pick, Liverpool shots on goal, over 20.
Okay, team ride on the Liverpool shots. 3 o'clock on Saturday, start with Fulham taking on Crystal Palace. Fulham 11-10, plus 110. Draw is 5-2, plus 250. Palace are 5-2, plus 250, Buzz.
I keep this one really simple. I had the Fiera, as I say, for Newcastle the other night against Palace. Palace just hit a bit of form. They've got some belief back. I think they're a great price here to pick up another win. Just beating Newcastle, beat Liverpool, battled West Ham. And you're getting almost 3-1 for them. But it was 11-4 last night. I think they're in 5-2 now, you just said. I think it's a big price for a Palace team that have just hit their stride a little bit lately. And Fulham, 1-5. Just lost back-to-back home games. Ironically, the back-to-back home games Fulham have just lost is Newcastle and Liverpool, who Palace have just gone and beat. So there's some good form there very recently. Lots of things I like here. Palace double chance at 4-5, I think looks an absolute gift. Palace over 1.5 team total at 13-8 looks nice. But I'll happily try and get a nice underdog under my belt here. Palace to win this one. Palace to beat Fulham at 5-2.
My first reaction when I looked at this was horrible as well, because in my head, Fulham were in quite good form. And then I looked and they're not. You're absolutely right. So it's two mid-table teams. Both were doing okay. But then you look at the form, exactly what you've said, Baz. Fulham have lost the last two at home, Newcastle and Liverpool. Palace, three excellent wins in a row. And as easy as it sounds, they've got the good players back and they're playing. They were absolutely excellent the other night. This is it. Even if they don't win, the prices are wrong. Prices are absolutely wrong here. Same pick, Baz. We are in lockstep for the second game in a row. Palace money line to beat Fulham, 5-2 plus 250. Next game on the card is another 3 o'clock. Manchester United taking on Burnley. Man United are 2-1 on, minus 200. The draw 15-4 plus 375. Burnley are 9-2. I could take Burnley here, but not at 9-2. Just too skinny in it. It's a shit price. Like this, Burnley should be 9-2 to be away at Manchester United. Man United have had back-to-back 6-goal games against Coventry and Sheffield United. If that's your angle in, goals galore. So they're going to go the same again here. Burnley been much better lately, much, much better. A little bit too late, really, because if they picked up a few more points, they'd have given themselves a chance. Burnley will fancy this. No question Burnley will fancy this. We've just seen, like I say, Man United held against the Championship team, should have lost, and were 2-1 down against the worst team in the league at home with about 20 minutes left the other night. So my analysis of that doesn't lend itself to any bets that I like, because I want to factor in Burnley, but it's all too short, 9-2. There's no prices I liked. I did find one eventually. Over 1.5 first half goals has hit in 3 of Manchester United's last 4 league games, and it's hit in 2 of Burnley's last 4. So that's 5 out of 8, and it's odds against. It's 11-10 plus 110. So the stats are marginally in our favour. It was hard for me to find a pick here, as much as I think Burnley can run them close. But over 1.5 first half goals in Man United v Burnley, 11-10 plus 110, Baz.
Yeah, that'll do for me, because I'm also in the goals market. Man United games full of goals. Both teams to score hit 7 in a row. Both teams to score twice has hit 5 in a row in Man United games as well. Everyone's putting 2 past Man United. They always look like conceding, but they are getting enough at the other end to keep them in games. They've not failed to score in over 20 games now since the last shutout, I think. Over 3.5 hit in 5 straight games. And Burnley games, not quite full of goals, but both teams to score hitting often enough. Don't want Man United. Might have won last night, but again, done it the hard way. There's just no fun in backing Man United odds on at the moment. Even Man United fans wouldn't be doing that, I don't think. So, again, here, not for me, not at these prices. Over 3.5, it's hitting often enough. You'd take Burnley to get at least one here. Absolute carnage at the moment with Man United, so why not stick with the goals? Over 3.5 of them at 11-10. So, Man U v Burnley, over 3.5. Match goals at 11-10.
Next, 3 o'clock again. A game I will be at is Newcastle United against Sheffield United. Newcastle 2-9 minus 450. The draw 6-1. Sheffield United 10-1. Baz.
Yeah, so bad day at the office for Newcastle yesterday, but back at home, home comfort. Still plenty to play for as well. European places still up for grabs. And a couple of important games to look a bit easier on paper. At home, unbeaten now in six and scored 18 goals in those six games. And I think for that reason, I've got to stick with Newcastle here. They will need to be better than they were the other day. But Sheffield United, no win in 10. They've just conceded 8 in the last two games. They've only picked up 6 points away from home all season as well, Sheffield United. Away from home, they're getting absolutely nothing. The problem here is finding a bet. Handicaps short. You need Newcastle to win by 3 or more to get the plus money. The Newcastle team total, 4-6 for them to score 3 or more. Again, a little bit tight. So I think Newcastle will win here. I'd back us to bounce back, but I couldn't really find a bet in terms of those handicaps or the goals that I really liked. And I wouldn't bet against Sheffield United getting on the score sheet. They've actually only been shut out once in the last 7. And we're always capable of letting goals in against anyone. So I think goals again here. I think Sheffield United can chip in. Newcastle probably win it 3-1, 4-1. But the over 3.5 goals for me, Newcastle v Sheffield United, 10-11 will be my pick.
Very similar, but a similar analysis is that I couldn't get away from Newcastle's home form. We've scored 17 in our last 6 home games, including scoring 4 goals 3 times against better teams than this lot as well. Sheffield United lost the last 3 away games by 2 goals. So I just wrote, that'll do. I'll take Newcastle on the handicap. And then I looked at the price. So my next 2 words say, shit price. Because I thought they'd be 4-5 or something. And they
weren't. Yeah, that's exactly the same. I'd have went the same pick if it wasn't as short as 4-6. We'd try and avoid going as far down as that. I think I've got an 8-11 in my picks tonight. But 4-6 just seems, it always feels a little bit too far for me.
Yeah. I was right with it. I'd stopped looking at this game and then I had to restart because that was a terrible price. So I had to try and find a bet that how Newcastle will cover that handicap. So it's a little bit of a punt, but the bet I'm going to take is Newcastle to win both halves. So we get 1-0 up at half-time. We'll win the second half 2-1, Baz, and we'll win the game 3-1. But Newcastle to win both halves is 11-8 plus 137. Lloyd O'Reilly's a right wind-up merchant, isn't he? Ben Brereton hat-trick. If that cashes, Lloyd, I'll give you the money myself. You think? Although, to be fair, I've seen a Chris Wood hat-trick at St. James's Park this season. So a Brereton-Diaz hat-trick isn't that far-fetched.
I mean, you would think, being a Liverpool fan, Lloyd O might pipe down a little bit tonight. You know, I thought he'd have gone back in his box, but apparently not.
Oh, have you went, Baz? When does any Liverpool fan ever pipe down? Actually, getting back to the tit list, that Irish baldy Liverpool YouTube one is, do you know what I mean?
Is it Angry Ginge or something like that?
No, he's not Ginger. Yeah, he's proper bald. He likes you.
I think I have seen him, yeah.
Yeah, the cry more, him. What a tit he is. At least Goldbridge has got a little bit of comedy about him. And I think on purpose, there's a little bit of Mr. Bean about Goldbridge.
Definitely.
There's a little bit of Alan Partridge, which I think he throws in. This Irish one for Liverpool's just got nothing to recommend him as a person. Like, he's just a humourless, he's an absolute cretin. I'll keep my eye on him because he might make his way onto the tit list. Hopefully he'll pipe down as well now there. Shagged for the season. Riley, I was going to mention throwing out Isak's first goal. I don't know if maybe Wilson might start, just because, for a start, they're both not allowed to be fit at the same time. So guarantee Isak's going to have 6 weeks off now. We'll not see him. Wilson only got 20 minutes the other night, so we'll have to see how fit he is. But there might just be a little bit of rotation. But yeah, if the team news comes out and Isak's starting.
I mean, Isak is still only 3 behind top scorer, you know.
Yeah, true.
And we put 8 past Sheffield United earlier in the season. I think Isak will want to be out there bagging a hat-trick and getting himself right in the mix for the golden boot. I think Isak's
very good starts. Point, Barry. Next up, 3 o'clock on Saturday still is Wolverhampton Wanderers against Luton Town. Wolves are a shade of odds on, 19 to 20, minus 105. The draw 14 to 5, plus 280. Luton 13 to 5, plus 260. This was horrible. This was one of the worst ones of the lot to handicap, because I've followed Wolves off a cliff lately. And in the last six games, they've drawn two and lost four. And I think I've picked them five times out of those six games. I picked them again the other night. And, well, I didn't. I took Bournemouth as my dog, actually. So maybe I'm learning something. But both teams to score in over 2.5 was me picking that. The VAR ruled out that goal with about 25 minutes left, which would have given us a real live chance. But they've lost three in a row at home, Wolves. At home recently, they have failed to beat Bournemouth, Forest, West Ham, Burnley. So now they get Luton. Luton are coming off back-to-back 5-1 defeats. They've got one win and two draws in the last 12 games. I very nearly picked this as the 1-1 of the week, Baz. But I don't know why I keep doing it to myself. Michael has just pointed out that Cunha's back for Wolves, which is a great big boost to my pick. Because I'm going to regret this, Barry. Wolves are better than Luton. Wolves 19 to 20, minus 105 on the money line. I hate I'm doing this to myself again.
Yeah, I mean, this was a horrible one. And funnily enough, as soon as you mentioned this was the hardest one, I actually left it to the last. I skipped past it because I didn't really know where to start with it, and come back to it right at the end. Horrible form, seven unbeaten for Wolves now. Sorry, not seven winless, I should say, not unbeaten. And just two draws in that seven as well. No sign of any home comforts for Wolves. They've lost four home games in a row now. So they are really hard to follow at the moment, despite the fact you keep following them. But the same can be said for Luton, just one win in 14. Still a massive, like, it's unbelievable, really, when you look at Luton's lack of wins. The fact that they're now within 1 point, they're as close as they've been for ages to getting back out of it. 1 point behind Forest. Forest have got City this week. So it is a massive game, big opportunity where, you know, Luton could potentially take control of things again. However, as you mentioned, back-to-back 5-1 defeats. Big positive for parts of this season, large parts of the season, was their ability to remain competitive and stay in games and not get battered by anyone. But that seems to have fallen away a bit recently. They have suddenly started to concede more goals. City put six past them in the Cup, five in the league. Brentford put five past them. Liverpool and Bournemouth put four past them. Even Sheffield United got three against Luton. So I think teams are getting goals against Luton now, and that's becoming problematic for them. Tough one to pick a side for me, both struggling. I've just thought I'll stick with that defensive form. And it is the shortest price of the week for me. But I'm favouring Wolves again. But I'm taking Wolves on the team total. Wolves to score two or more here. It's 8 to 11. I just think it's a good opportunity here for Wolves to at least be competitive in this game and play a part and maybe get something out of it. And they'll do so by getting a couple of goals. So pick for me, Wolves team total over 1.5 at 8 to 11.
Okay. Next is the tea time game on Saturday, 5:30. Cereal's joined us in the chat. Cereal, how you doing? Not seen him for a little while. Everton taking on Brentford. Just when I thought I hated Wolves v Luton, they threw fucking Everton v Brentford at me. Everton 7-5 plus 140. The draw is 5-2, and Brentford are 19-10 plus 190. You get to go first here, Bats.
Oh, brilliant. I mean, it looks a stinker, but actually two teams with a proper turnaround in form recently, which is possibly the reason why it's a little bit harder. If just one of these teams have found a bit of form recently, it might have been easy. But Everton lost just one in five now, won the last two. Brentford have also won their last two and unbeaten in their last five now. So short-term form for both of them is looking good. I think the Everton form probably carries a little bit more weight. Wins over Forest and Liverpool. Brentford, on the other hand, beat Luton and Sheffield United. I think both teams have done enough now. I think to take the pressure off, should be safe. Bet-wise, though, both teams have gone under 2.5 goals in three of the last five games. And both managing to keep clean sheets recently. Brentford have got 2 in the last 4, and Everton 3 clean sheets in their last 4. And so for that reason, I think this one is worth taking to be a low-scoring one. We're not favouring many games for low-scoring in the Premiership at the moment. It's not a huge price, but it evens. I think it looks okay. Everton, as I say, have kept a few clean sheets lately. They've kept 3 straight clean sheets in a row at home. I'm going to take the under. Everton v Brentford, under 2.5 goals at even money.
Honestly, Baz, it's like you've pulled my note here. Both teams doing all right in the last 5 games. Everton 10 points, Brentford 9 points. That's plenty good enough. But I looked at those under 2.5. 4 of Everton's last 5 under 2.5. And as you said, 3 of Brentford's last 4 under 2.5. And I do like the angling that both teams would be happy with a point here, Baz. You said that they're both nearly safe. A draw wouldn't distress either team unduly here. On the back of that form, just to keep it going. So for that, I've got the same pick, Baz, under 2.5 goals is evens. But the best way to get under 2.5 goals, Barry, it's the 1-1 draw of the week.
It's Malcolm's 1-1 draw of the week. Both teams score a goal.
Hey, been a couple of weeks since we dished that out. So yeah, 6-1. Everton 1, Burnley. Fucking not Burnley. Brentford. Everton 1, Brentford 1. We'll pay 6-1, but yeah, all aboard the under 2.5 goals train, Bazza. I agree with you. This is all, I can't decide if this is really good thing, Baz, that we keep making the same pick, or a really, really terrible thing. What it's not doing is helping the punters out, because normally we give them at least 2 options to avoid, but now we're only giving them 1. Where are we going? Saturday night game on Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Is Aston Villa v Chelsea. Villa 6-5, plus 120. Draw 14-5, plus 280. Chelsea 2-1. If Harry's still kicking about, Harry, give us an angle in. Oh, here he is. Harry's given us an Ashley Young yellow card. We want an angle on the Chelsea game, Harry. I started with Chelsea here because you can't take them at 2-1. That's insane. Arsenal were brilliant the other night. Arsenal. Well, it could be a better team than Man City, you know. I don't think there's much in it. They've been absolutely outstanding. But Chelsea didn't have to make it easy for them. And we, even when they beat Everton 6-0, Dave Aran's duffel coat, issue 1485p, messaged me saying that this lot were just an accident waiting to happen, Chelsea. That's the impression that you get. And that accident happened again on Tuesday night, quite spectacularly. Tons of goals in Chelsea games. In the last 7 games, Barry, the lowest match total is 4. And that's happened 3 times. There's been 5 goals twice, 6 goals once, and 7 goals once. It's insane. So, like, your baseline for goals is 4 in any Chelsea game. Villa's home form isn't very helpful when you're trying to have a pick. In the last 4, they lost 4-0. It's open to Tottenham. But a 3 all over Brentford, and then a comfortable win over Wolves and Bournemouth. So it ranges from a horrible defeat through a high scoring draw to a comfortable win. Really hard. Villa had the week off, and their front line against Chelsea is definitely a concern. Cole Palmer's going to be key. We factored Chelsea in the other night with Palmer. He had the shits, didn't he? So he should be back, I think. Hopefully, he should have firmed up a bit by now. A couple of teaspoons of gravy granules will sort him out. But I just think Villa are better. Villa have been good in these big spots as well, Baz. They're getting quite good at managing these big spots. The Arsenal game, the European game. I think Villa will win. 6-5, plus 120.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start off. How do you handicap the team who've just had a 5-0 defeat and a 6-0 win in the last 2 games with Chelsea? You just can't work out Chelsea from 1 week to the next. But well beaten against Arsenal. It's really impressive from Arsenal. We didn't really talk about that much at the beginning. I'll possibly come on to it a little bit more when I get to Arsenal Spurs in a bit. Possibly a little unlucky Chelsea in that defeat to Man City. But then I've sort of don't want to get too carried away with that Arsenal game, because they've lost to Arsenal, they've lost to Man City, but that's the top two teams in the league. And prior to that, they had gone 8 unbeaten. And in that 8-game streak, scoring 2 goals every time, also conceding 2 goals every time. So I did toy with that a little bit. I thought Chelsea to score 2 or more. Then you look at Villa, aren't necessarily shipping loads of goals. And the price was very short, actually. Villa home form is getting back on track. They had dropped off and went downhill quite a bit. But last 5 games, 1-4, drawn 1. They've also scored 2 or more in all 5 of those recent home games as well. So I thought, again, simplest way I picked in a few games tonight is just to stick with the goals. 4 of the last 5 Villa games have gone over 3.5. And Chelsea games, as you mentioned, over 3.5 goals in 9 of the last 10 Chelsea games. 11-10, it's plus money. Villa v Chelsea over 3.5 goals at 11-10.
Okie doke. I'm going to shout out Lloyd, who are giving us a horse at Sandown tomorrow, 11-2. Hedge fund in the 115 at Sandown. I'll tell you what interests me most about this, Lloyd. For the first time in donkeys, I went in the betting shop today because I went to get me. I'm looking particularly dashing tonight. And there's a Chisholm right next door. And I had some actual money in my pocket. So I put a £20 double on the baseball tonight. Hit it, 73 quid or something. So I'm going to go and pick me 73 quid up. And I will put £13 of that, Lloydo, on hedge fund at 11-2 in the 115 at Sandown. So here we go. Rolling. We're rolling. Okay. On to Sunday. Bournemouth take on Brighton, 2 o'clock, 9 a.m. Eastern time. That one, Bournemouth are 5-4 plus 125. The draw is 11-4 plus 275. Brighton are 19-10 plus 190. This is you, Baz.
Yep, Bournemouth home form good, unbeaten in 5 home games in a row now. Wins over Palace and Man United most recently. A decent bit of form there. Brighton, on the other hand, struggling to pick up wins. No win in 5. And just 2 wins in the last 10 league games now for Brighton. Really hard to back at the moment, and particularly away from home. Just 1 win in 10 away from home for Brighton. Being the story of their season, really, their away form hasn't been good enough. And even that 1 win was against Sheffield United, which we've said before doesn't really count. And it's that away form that would concern me here for Brighton. I think they're really hard to back. So if I had to favour a side, it would be Bournemouth here. And if Bournemouth are on the front foot, then Bournemouth corners is a good bet. Bournemouth at home this season, corners, averaging 8 corners per game, team total. Recent home games for Bournemouth, 7, 9, 9, 11, 10, 13, 3, boo, 11, 12, 8. So 9 of their last 10 games have seen them get 7 or more. And 5 of the last 10 games have seen them hit double figures for corners. We only need 6 here. The line's at 5.5. So Bournemouth team total over 5.5 corners at 5-6 is the pick. That's where we start, Malcolm. And obviously, there's the ladder opportunity. Bringing back the ladder. We're getting the ladder out. It's been a while. But I do like this one. I think the over 5.5 looks fairly easy when you look at the home games in particular. Bags of corners, ladder opportunity. So get up the ladder. You can get 8 or more at 5-2, 7-1 for 10 or more, 12-1 for 11 or more, 22-1 for 12 or more. I mean, that 12 or more has hit twice recently, and the double figures has hit half of the games recently. In terms of home games, half of the games are hitting 10 corners. 7-1 for them to get 10 corners here. So, yeah, plenty of opportunity to get up the ladder, but we'll start main pick, Bournemouth, over 5.5 corners at 5-6.
Okay. I kept this really easy. I just much prefer Bournemouth on the current form. I watched Brighton tonight. What are they trying to achieve? Honest to God. Did you see any of the game? Oh, no, you were out, weren't you? And I don't know what the manager's doing. I don't know what the plan is. All they do, right, is get the ball by their own corner flag and try and get as many passes as they can in without moving until the other team gets it. And you say, well, what's the point of that? It's an exercise in vanity from De Zerbi. That's all it is. It's a pure exercise in vanity. Padre Roberto, what's a crack? You said, well, look what we just done. Yeah, but what was it? Well, look at all those passes. But yeah, you're still 4 yards away from your own goal. And then it was a fucking shambles. And Brighton have been rubbish. They can't score. They can't defend. And everybody's injured. They're absolutely on the bones of their arse. Bournemouth are in really good form. Excellent form. This is a great price. Bournemouth, 13 to 10. I've got the math down here. Plus 130. I think Bournemouth will quite comfortably knock them off. Bosh. Next. The penultimate game is, this is a good one. We have a North London derby at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Tottenham Hotspur against Arsenal. 3-1 Spurs. 3-1 the draw. Arsenal are 3-4 minus 133. Tottenham's home form is what's kept them competitive, really, in the top six or five most of the season. 3-1 v Forest, 2-1 v Luton recently. They beat Palace, Brighton and Brentford. In every single one of them, it's featured both teams to score and over 2.5 for Tottenham. It's just a system play. But I think Arsenal are the best team in the Prem. They're in outstanding form. That home draw against Villa, it happens, it's football. Villa aren't a bad side. But I think Arsenal can beat teams in all different kinds of ways as well. They can be expansive and thrash them. They can defend properly. What we just said last week, actually, 6 consecutive away clean sheets for Arsenal in the league. That's incredibly impressive. Like, the trap door here is if Tottenham do to Arsenal what Everton did to Liverpool, local derby, can they just get up for it? And because it's a game of football, it wouldn't be unusual. They're 3-1. It's not like they're 1,000,000-1 shots. They could easily do what Everton did. However, I think Arsenal will beat them. You've taken the piss out of me because I've banged on about Arsenal since that game I saw 2 seasons ago up here. I thought they were brilliant, Baz, and they've got strength to strength. Arsenal will knock them off here. This is a skinny one, but yeah, Arsenal 3-4 minus 133 will beat Tottenham, Barry.
I had the same pick, but I've just I've just bolstered mine a little bit to make it better than yours. So anyway, that's where I've gone. But yeah, big one, and I wrote the exact same thing as my first line here. The big question is, can Spurs go and do what Everton did and pretty much close down their rivals' title challenge at home? But I'm just not convinced they can. I think this Arsenal side have got more about them than Liverpool at the moment. Spurs' recent home form, you've mentioned that both teams to score the over 2.5s. Don't lose many at home, fair to say. But I just think we talked recently about how Arsenal struggled a little bit in away games against big sides. So Bayern, Man City, Porto, Liverpool, PSV, Villa, all away games, big away games where they failed to win. But I'm just not quite sure whether this Spurs team represents as big an away game as those. And I'm just not prepared to oppose Arsenal again. I've tried it recently, done all right in the Bayern game. That was fine. But I thought Brighton might get something. I was hugely wrong. I thought Chelsea might get something. I was even more wrong. And I'm not doing it again. I thought Arsenal were very impressive the other day. I'm starting to think they could go unbeaten. I think they could win every game from here. It might still not be enough for them to win the league. But it wouldn't surprise me if they did go on and win everything from here, and City do the same. I was thinking, you know, the other day, I enjoyed watching Arsenal on Tuesday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We've got stuck in Arsenal loads, you know, and it's just what we do. But I did enjoy, and I found myself sitting there thinking, I almost wouldn't mind if Arsenal won the league. But then it comes back It comes back to Arteta, and I just can't.
Yeah,
if it wasn't for Arteta, he gets right on my tits. The rest of them I could get behind because they're a good team, good players.
Yeah.
Apart from Saka taking the odd dive. But, yeah, really impressed with Arsenal. I don't want to oppose them anymore. I think, like you, Arsenal win. Short price at 3-4, like you say. I've tagged on the over 1.5 as a little bit of a cop-out, but it gets me to...
Right, 10. Soft lads, move that, by the way.
It gets me to 10 to 11, Martin. It gets me a slightly better price than you, but I'll probably shit out when it finishes 1-0.
Good.
Yeah, I don't see Arsenal losing this one. I think Arsenal will win, keep the title hopes alive. Arsenal win and over 1.5 goals for me.
That's a Fanny's pick, that. Last game on the card.
It's bolder pick than yours, Malcolm, is what it is.
Well, it's not, is it? Shit. 4:30 on Sunday, 11:30 Eastern. Nottingham Forest take on Manchester City. There's been massive line movement here since Man City pumped Brighton tonight. Forest were 13-2 plus 650 and now out to 9-1. So they've drifted a hell of a long way. The draws drifted from 9-2 to 11-2. And Manchester City have tightened up from 3-10 minus 333 into 1-4 minus 400. What are you doing with this, Baz?
This was the easiest one on the list for me. Because I've just watched Man City cash my bet tonight with ease, and it's exactly the same bet, exactly the same handicap. I took the over City three or more tonight, landed within half an hour. I think it'll be a comfortable City win again. 11 to 10 plus money for them to score three or more here. And I like City to score four or more. They've scored four or more in four straight league games, twice on the road as well. And Forest have just conceded two against Everton, two against Wolves, three against Spurs. City will get at least three here, no bother. Pick for me, Man City to score three or more at 11 to 10 and four or more at 3-1.
My pick is very, very similar, Barry, but I can win and have you lose at the same time. It's hard, but Forest are dog shit, as Michael points out. I don't quite know. The manager sacking still baffles me because they got a tiny little boost, didn't they? They're picking up 4 or 6 points or something. And they just what they are. Why on earth they didn't let your man carry on in the first place? City scored 13 in the last three wins before Brighton tonight. So, mate, what did it finish 4-0? I stopped watching it.
4, yeah.
Yeah. So that's 17 now and 4. Tiny little... A little margin. It's even money, my pick, Baz. But I like this a lot. And it would have cashed 4 in a row now. Is City scoring both halves is even money. So, yeah, that would knock you if they scored one in each half. But you're probably right. If they score in each half, they're probably not going to finish on two. But, yeah, pay your money and take your choice. Manchester City to score in both halves against Forest. Plus 100, even money. Baz, we did it. I'm going to tell the poorly kid story, Baz. Do you want it before the locking dog? Locking dog. I'm on the baseball show. Do you want it before the exotics or do you want it after the exotics?
Let's get the exotics done.
Go on then.
Yeah, so I'll kick off with my underdog of the week, which is definitely Palace to beat Fulham at 5-2. My scorer will come from the same game. It's Mateta. 12-5, anytime goal for Mateta. And 7-1 first or last. I think it's a great price. He scored 6-6. And he scored 4 in his last two games. So bang in form. 12-5 is a great price for Mateta as an anytime scorer. I really like that one. My Akka, I've gone a bit different. Struggled a little bit lately with the Akka. So I've gone for something a little bit more fruity, Malcolm. Something I've not pulled out before. Lee Smith, I like this one because he likes the result and both teams to score picks. And that's where I've gone. I've gone from Newcastle and Arsenal to win and both teams to score. That comes in at 6-1 as a double. But then you can tag on Liverpool as well in the same win, but both teams to score. That gets you to 17-1 for the treble. So Newcastle and Arsenal win and both to score. And Liverpool boosts that up to 17-1. So 6-1 double, 17-1 treble.
What was your dog?
Palace.
Yeah, okay. Baz, we're very, very much on the same lines here. My underdog is Palace. I mean, it stands out, doesn't it? Absolutely stands out as an underdog and also at the price. So, yeah, Palace. My goal scorer is Mateta because why not? I think probably a little bit that we just sat and watched it, Baz. You know what I mean? We watched that game closer. But, yeah, why not? And Fulham are dodgy at the back. 17-2, as you've just said, 13-5 anytime. And for my Akka, Baz, I've got a little money line treble, which is Bournemouth to beat Brighton, Villa to beat Chelsea, and Arsenal to beat Tottenham. That pays 8-1. for a little three timer. And I think that's it, Baz. Have you got any other mad picks?
No, that's all from me.
Right, okay. We're going to have to get this story out of the way because I've also got, with this story now, Barry, I've got the fear of it might have been built up a bit too much. So if I don't tell it now and it's not the best story, then I've oversold it. So here we go, right?
Did you ever tell the story about the container ship full of Lego?
Did we ever get to that story?
I don't know. You built that one up over and over again. I don't think you ever told it.
I've got the fear and I've left this one till the end. So, I've got a job on Saturday night, Baz. I've got the casino out, and it's for a charity do. So these people are having a charity evening for a kid who's not very well. I don't know what's wrong with him. He's not very well, but it's a nice thing to do. That it's a charity fundraising evening. So they've put the casino, they're having a James Bond-themed evening to raise some money for the kid. Part of what we do, our business, is you can have order fun money. Your own bespoke fun money, and we hand that out to the punters on the night. They change the fun money for chips. And very often people, if it's a wedding, the couple will often put a nice photo of themselves on the fun money, you know, personalise the fun money. A nice, when they're on honeymoon or like engagement party or something. Or if it's a corporate, the corporate people will often put their logo on the fun money. So the people, this job's in Sunderland, Baz. I hope no one's at this thing that listens to this show. It's very unlikely.
I'm not sure I want to listen to this. I've got a feeling this is going to be bad.
No, honestly, it's just a tiny little thing, Baz. But as a football fan, you'll laugh at it. So they've sent a photo through of this kid to put on the front money. He doesn't look very well, Baz. Wheelchair tubes coming out of him and that. And he's got a Sunderland shirt on, right? Fair enough. My mate Matt, I've talked about, we've got nothing in common. He's a very dull man. He's a very nice man. He sorts out all that sort of shit. But he doesn't know anything about football at all. He's not a football person. He's not a sports person. So with the fun money, he's with it being a James Bond sort of theme, he's put it all in a nice black and white font, colour scheme. So this poor kid, who's not very well, Barry, is now on his own party, on his own fun money, in a black and white striped shirt instead of a red and white striped shirt. I mean, the kid can't catch a break, like, can he? Do you know what I mean? How's your luck? So it just made me, I thought, of all the things in the world that happened, poor Ben. So that was it. That's all it was. It just made me laugh. So I'm going to have to turn up on Saturday night, this poor kid in his black and white shirt on the front of the fun money bar. So was that as horrendous as you thought, or was it all right?
No, that was okay. I thought you were going to be, like, mocking the poor lad or something, you know. And
no, not at all.
Sounds like he's probably not very well if they're having a charity. So I was a little bit concerned you were going to go too far, but that's okay.
No, like I say, the poor kid just can't catch a break, like his own party, and he's there in a black and white shirt on the front of his thing. So that was that. Right, that's out the way. We can get on with the rest of our lives, and we can maybe queue up the container ship full of Lego. Lost at sea for another day when we've got nothing else to talk about. That's it, Baz. Anything you want to tell people before we let them go?
No, I want to get some sleep now, Malcolm. It's a bit late.
You do look a little bit tired. It is 1 minute to midnight, Barry. You're not going to get any sleep because you're going to have to publish all this shit as well, by the way.
Yeah.
So don't forget to do that. Right. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. The chat was buzzing. I enjoyed it. We're going to pick some winners here. We said it was hard, but we were in agreement on a lot of things. Back on probably Sunday night, I reckon, to discuss all of these winners. Good luck, everyone. Lloyd, I'm back on that horse tomorrow. And until then, we'll see you down the road. Cheers.